Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. Well, we're talking about, we just heard rehoming children, rehoming orphan children. If you missed it, we heard it in an earlier program. We have four programs back to back every day. And understand that that's a major thing. And I can, if you never parented before, step aside.
Right.
If you had a child and you got rid of the child through abortion or any other way, step aside. I'm talking to parents who actually have done this thing. And we're having a conversation now. You know, this is a very difficult thing. You know that the government does not support you in the context of your role as a parent. They blame you, but they don't support you and what you have to do to be able to raise a child. And they accuse you. And it's been happening, I guess, since the 50s or 60s or something. It has to do with all those things that broke loose around that time. And it's like, let's go figure out why your parents are your fault. But yet why they put you in jail, by the way, for your crimes. Like, well, how come you didn't put your mama in jail? Because they're just lying to you.
Right.
You're your own fault. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, what's happening? Because if you raise someone else's child that they raised at a certain early stages of their life, then you're raising literally somebody else's way of doing it. They've already taken on their parent's spirit. They've already taken on the damaging lifestyle maybe that they had, and you somehow have to work that out. And this can be done, but it can't be done the way it should be done with a government that's actually tying your hands. And when you're having to be, you know, strong and steadfast, and I mean, sort of like the law enforcement does, you know, that we approve of every day, to be able to say, this has to be done, this is how it's going to be done, the way judges do. If you go in their courtroom, if you do wrong, they say, you won't believe this. If you're in a courtroom and the judge tells you, do not do something, you know what he or she does, the judge does, and you do it again? This is what they say. They say, take that man or woman,
that's right,
put handcuffs on that man or woman, take them and put them in a locked up cell until they learn their lesson. Now they tell parents, you make your child stand in the corner and count to 10. I'm not saying cuff your child, Lord knows, but I'm saying find out what God says about raising children, the creator of life, and say, you know what? I'm going to seek his way and begin to elect officials, because this is a representative government that says, I stand with the way God says family should be and the way children should be and the way parenting should be. And eventually our laws will reflect that because we make our representatives make those laws. But now this whole thing is promulgated from abortion, and it began in the 60s, got legalized in the 70s, to the point where marriage now is out, gone in the context of a lot of people's minds. Having children and aborting children is like not a big deal in people's mindset. And now they're rehoming children. I changed my mind. I want to. Is there a return policy? I guess they have a drop-down return policy now on sites that you can adopt to children. You can just select return like you can at Amazon.com. And I guess a drone in the future will pick up the child and take the child back with Amazon's future.
Wow.
But either way, the stork used to deliver children. I guess the drone will deliver them and take them away.
No stork.
And so now they have this group. It's called Childless by Choice. Childless by Choice. And CBS News is reporting on them. And so, what is this group about? They started off, and you can see this interview in its entirety on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com, and they start with a group. What is the group in Arkansas that has 19 children?
The Duggars?
The Duggar family. So when you start hearing the Duggar family, you're thinking this is going to be the wrong thing. No, first they talk about the Duggar family, and then they go into Childless by Choice. So you got to first see what's right and godly.
Mm.
And then they show that the selfish, narcissistic adults that are saying, you know, we just feel indifferent about them. We don't hate them. And by the way, the word indifferent, if somebody feels indifferent towards you, you will feel that you'll feel hate, by the way.
The disguise. It's masquerading word.
So childless by choice is what they call it. They proudly call themselves childless by choice. We do not plan to have, entertain, spend a dime on these children. As a matter of fact, listen up right now.
Laura and Vinny Ciaccio got married. Tracy Ellen Caymans and Jared Skolnick felt the same way. Both couples are now members of a social club for the childless by choice called No Kidding.
There are people out there who say, oh, people who don't have kids hate kids. Do you guys hate kids?
I don't hate kids. Well,
My favorite quote is Jerry, the founder of No Kidding, says, I like women's breasts. I don't want my own.
I've been an SAT teacher and loved my students, but I just don't feel the same way about toddlers and babies that everyone else seems to.
But it doesn't mean you hate them.
No, I don't hate them. I'm indifferent toward them.
Why pose the question, why have kids?
That's so important, because what she's saying is, I don't hate them. I just feel indifferent about them. Childless by choice. This is this SAT teacher in your school who says, I don't like these. I feel indifferent towards these. The fact of children. It's like, why are you teaching our kids? Why are you? And it's that's who's teaching. A lot of the teachers, there's a lot of good, godly teachers, but I'm not going to not tell the truth about the teachers who are feeling this way. She does the SAT college classes to be able to go into college, and she says, I feel indifferent about them. When you think about, you know, indifferent, when you look the words up, and I think it's really important for us to be able to do that, because we don't know our vocabulary as well as Pat knows his vocabulary. If I guess you can find this thing, I'm going to read it to you, but nothing's actually coming up anymore. Can you pull that up? I want to read that to you. But childless by choice, and they're talking about this, it's like, what are we coming to? We're aborted 55 plus million children. You're going to hear in hopefully this program or our next program today, four programs back to back, about we are even exporting, not giving asylum to a Christian German family who just wanted to homeschool their children. That they came in and they took their children from them. So they had to flee to America. I mean, that's persecution. That's why we do what we do. And so they came to America for asylum. Simple thing like wanting to homeschool their children. And you're thinking, obviously, we're going to come behind this, right?
Right, we'll support this.
Right, and we didn't. As a matter of fact, you're going to hear in just a moment after this break. I want you to hear this next aspect of, you know, childless by choice. And then we're going to go to a break and come back and hear about this German family that the Supreme Court ruled send them back to Germany, where we know they're going to take their kids. They're going to take their kids away. John, I don't know what society's coming to. And we have to ask ourselves the question, not what we say, but what our fruit is.
Right.
And the fruit is that the church itself, when you look at, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I mean, what is the percentage of Christians in their lifetime that will reproduce and have a spiritual child, that will actually go out and win one person to the Lord? What is the percentage?
I think they say it's that not even, well, 95%, my understanding is, won't even lead one person to the Lord in their whole life.
Which is what Jesus says. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you are born again, they're a babe in Christ. What this means is this, is that you give birth into the kingdom of God. And this is what the church's mentality is like, I don't want to spend 95% in America saying, I don't want to have spiritual children. I don't want to mentor nobody. I don't want to pour my life out for someone else. And now look at society. Look at society reflecting the church. Look at the eunuch spirit over the church, this huge Jezebelic principality oppressing a nation, and the church is saying, you know, with our fruit, not our words.
That's right.
I mean, everybody wants a giving unit, yes, as they put it. But in regards to souls in the kingdom of God, it's like, come on, this same mentality is in the church.
Right.
Childless by choice. Listen to this next part of their interview, childless by choice here.
That's a mistake. I think we all make selfish decisions. Every time you go out and, you know, buy yourself a latte instead of donating money to the poor, you're making a selfish decision. Life is about balancing the things you do for yourself with the things you do for the world. And there's a lot of ways to contribute to the world other than having kids.
Most people
think about that. And so she's seeing the context of this as the world.
Right.
As the world. And it's like, that has nothing to do with you and God and what's going on. Indifference defined as without interest or concern, not caring, apathetic, having no bias or prejudice, whatever. And how many parents, even though they have children, these guys chose not to have them, but how many parents are indifferent towards their children?
Right.
They don't.
These folks are being honest.
They're being, exactly.
They're being honest.
And how many Christians are indifferent towards souls being born in the kingdom?
Yeah, just, you see, and whatever, don't care.
Yeah, and so they're being tied together. Childless by choice. We're talking about the reality of the state and the mindset of America. And remember that the world reflects, the church reflects Israel, and the world reflects the church.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of that, that ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. Ever how goes the church, so goes the world. And so Jesus says this. He says, well, the Word of God says this. When all these things start happening that are bad and tragic and the stuff we're talking about in today's program, childless by choice and the abortions and all the things that are taking place, rehoming children, and we're going to talk more about how the government is getting involved in the context of that, we got to say, well, these things are happening. We need to check ourselves as believers, as Christians. Have we done that? We have to ask ourselves, are we as the church childless by choice? Because Jesus said, you must be born again. And of course, Nicodemus says, right? He says, how can I go back in my mother's womb again? And he's talking about being born in the spirit. So when somebody is born in the kingdom, when you lay your life down and you go tell somebody about Jesus and they say, yes, you know, and this is why you don't tell somebody that they're going to say, that they say yes, then you got a baby on your hands.
That's right.
And you're going to have to raise that baby. And so one way you've defeated that is like you get hirelings and you go interview them and you put them as like, here, I'll bring them here. And I'll corral them at this daycare called you call it a church, but it's a building because you are the church. How can you go to what you are? All you can do is truly be.
I'll just drop them off here, right?
Drop them off here or develop specialty ministries. You know, it's like, okay, when you go in, do not even see me. Just go off to the neurosurgeon, the child this and the adult that. And it's like, what happened, you know? What happened to the family context of what's going on? And so I just have a challenge here. You know, if we look at the world, if we look at America, the American church can say, is that us?
Mm.
Are we childless by choice? We have 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. If 95% of us are choosing, according to George Barna, not to tell one person, win one person to the Lord in our entire lifetime, that's childless by choice. These guys are being honest.
That's right.
It's time to just have some honest conversation. I mean, if that's what you're doing, the only person you're lying to is yourself. And it's not bad that you're lying to yourself. It just irks me that you believe your own lie.
Mm.
Or it irks me for the fact that you think I believe you. It's like, do you think you're actually fooling me here? I mean, what is it? I see what you're doing. You don't love that child. You don't love your parent. And you're acting it all out. But it just seems inappropriate, not politically correct, and not biblically correct for you to say what this woman said that you heard when we talked about and CBN News reported on it. I got to be honest with you. I hate this child.
Mm.
And the truth is, things can happen in our life where we get offended and things happen. And we have to go to God and say, God, help me, forgive me for holding this unforgiveness and heal me from this. That's what life's about. But in the context of it's like, my goodness, we got to ask the question, is the church childless by choice? That's the name of their group. They said, we don't want to have any kids. We just want to be able to spend our money on ourselves. They talked about there's more things you can do for the world
than
have a child. It's like, what's that have to do with the world? What about God? And it's not working for the world. It's living for God in the context of that. When we pull God out of just, and the church is childless by choice. So why should we be upset about this New York lady who's saying, hey, we're just childless by choice right here. And you can watch the whole interview. You got to see the whole interview. It starts with the Duggars. You can see it at VFNTV.com. Go to click on the torch. And go see this because The truth is, are they reflecting? Is this lady reflecting the church? We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
All right, guys, admit it. You'd prefer to leave all the holiday planning and prep to your wife. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Dr. Greg Smalley suggests that you really ought to step up and pitch in.
And I know one of the things that Erin often says, I love it when you ask me what I can do to help, but she said it's very different though when you take initiative and you just jump in. Because in some ways, when I have to ask her constantly, what can I do to help? What do you need from me? It almost implies like, hey, this is really ultimately your responsibility. I'm just kind of here to help. You know, and it's great to have that attitude that I want to serve you, so ask each other. But also, I think for the guys, boy, it goes a long ways when we just look around, find things to do, jump in, and get them done.
More advice from Greg Smalley on navigating the holidays today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you, because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ, that He is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that He can. And He wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your Heavenly Father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him.
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business, and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel, and we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about, you know, a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey. I mean,
Mark Downey Associates. He is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a, you know, great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment.
Ooh,
barbecue.
The taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I remember we were sitting there having her food. I could tell you. This man came in, he's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker. And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite? Right?
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good. That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. We have people out there. Think about it. We have people out there right this moment that would give their right arm. They're paying thousands and thousands of dollars just to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have one. It may be a fantasy, but at least they really want one, because you don't know until you had a child who you really are. Sad thing about it, a lot of people are trying to satisfy something inside of them other than I want to pour my life into this child and want them to do better than me.
Right.
What a concept.
Right.
And so because of self-focus, they want to go out and grab a child. And they say, okay, I'm going to raise this child up. And they do adopt the child. They finally get what they always I wanted. And then the child says, I will never think about you. I will only think about myself. Right. I'm born narcissist. You have to train me up in the way to come out of this. But the fact is that if you are a narcissist yourself, if the whole world is about you, you'll never be able to train that child up in not being a narcissist. God would say an idolatrous.
It takes work. It takes work raising children, laying your life down. And if you're lifting yourself up, it's all about you. You're not going to be able to do it.
It's a spiritual thing. So if you are an idolater and every decision you make, every dime you spend, everything is about you, your child who is struggling with the same thing about idolatry, they're never going to listen to you because you're saying after you bow down to your idol, telling them not to bow down to what they want and their desires and all their decisions on themselves. You know, you're kind of indifferent, as she said, towards these children. Mm-hmm. The thing is, what happened to society? What happened to society? What happened to the governments? What happened to the world? What happened to the church that got to this point when, if we were honest, you have to be honest. You have to be honest with this because, you know, some parents are not doing a good job. Some children are not listening to their parents. Many aren't, but the government is actually fueling this thing by the things that they're allowing, the things they're putting in school, in the school system. They're basically forming a posse against parents who want, and we're going to talk about that in our next program, four programs back to back, don't miss them, because we're going to continue on talking about this German couple, family, Christian couple, they were homeschooling their children in Germany, and the government comes in and takes their children from them because they believe in Germany, according to reports, that the government's supposed to have your children and raise them. But listen, we have a candidate running for president, or reportedly soon running for president. She wrote a book. Hillary Clinton wrote a book. It takes a community to raise a child. And you'll hear about in our next program today, we'll get four programs back to back, that you will hear MSNBC talking the very same thing, the messaging out about, listen, really, truly, that your child doesn't belong to you. Mm. Your child belongs to the community. By the way, God will hold you accountable. For what? You know, you can say that that child that you aborted belonged to the community, and your community could have convinced you it had been better for you not to have that child. But when you stand before the throne of God, lest you have repented, then God's going to say, why did you kill this child?
You, not the community. Not the community is not going to be buying you. You.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you can repent, and God's going to say, yeah, but I've forgiven you in that. Mm-hmm. But in the context of this, you know, the church is childless. The church is childless. So we're sort of like this childless club. You know, childless by choice club. We've got all these adults. Nobody's planning on evangelizing. Nobody's going to do anything that would cause fertility in the body of Christ. Mm. It's like a eunuch spirit. You know, but you think about, what did Jezebel have around her?
Eunuchs.
Eunuchs. Yes. She had eunuchs around here. And the thing about it is, this Jezebelic spirit over America, this principality, this locking down and seducing government, and the true authorities is being pressed down, which would be an Ahab-type spirit, it produces a whole bunch of eunuchs. And so we have 95%, if you think about the context of that, are childless by choice, are eunuchs by choice. Mm. They're not going to do anything, give anything, with 97% robbing from God and tithes and offerings. Don't give too much. You might have a child here.
Hey.
And we don't want to hang around too much. We don't want to go out and do too much stuff for God, because somebody says yes to Jesus, guess what? You're going to need to raise them. You're going to need to disciple them. You're going to need to have a relationship. As a matter of fact, you're going to have to invite them into your life and say, we're family now, the family of God. And what do you say? This is what the American church has been saying. We're childless by choice. So when we look at the state of the government and we see what's going on, understand the condition of America and the condition of the government in the world right now is because of the condition of the church. Until my people, God says, humble themselves and pray and turn from our childless by choice mindsets and aborting mindsets and non-family mindsets, then the world's going to reflect that. But if we do, he'll hear from heaven. He'll bless our land. Catch us. You've got to find out in the next program, four programs back to back, how we're talking about how government now is trying to infiltrate the family and break it down and support this whole concept. Childless by choice. You know, what's taking place? Rehoming orphan children, which means people are, it's a phrase that they have now for, parents who decided they adopted a child, but they decided in their own reasoning they didn't want them anymore. And so in the context of that, they just put them on the website and begin to advertise their children, take them back, and it's becoming a normal thing.
Wow.
And we're going to continue that conversation because the society reflects the church. You know, he tells us to be, you know, do not conform to the cultures, to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our, the way we think, what we think, want, and feel, our minds. And he says, then you'll know the will of God, the perfect will of God. And so we have to begin to rethink what God says about family, rethink what God says about marriage. And what you have is there's some things people like about marriage, and they go, listen, I'll take 80% of that. As a matter of fact, they'll protest, and they will push it down your throat, the 80%. But there's 20%, you know, they don't want. And it's like, that just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Either it's all God's way or it's not God's way. And it's like, well, that's not going to happen around this house. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen in this marriage. It's not going to happen in this family. It's like, listen, then you're saying you're not going to follow God.
Right.
You're saying that you're childless by choice. Because childless by choice, when you think about this, you know, you have parents that give their right arm to have a child, or adults who are childless. But also you have parents who have a child who will give their right arm to get rid of the child. They'll even murder the child, abort the child, instead of having it and raising the child up. But yet the church is the same way. 95% of the church doesn't help one person get born again into the kingdom, according to George Barna. The church is childless. Mm. So how these things are interacting, when we're seeing things reflect, we look at society, we could ask ourselves, God, have we sinned against you? Have we left what you say marriage is supposed to be? Have we left what you say family is supposed to be? And why is government intervening? Because what we're fixing to hear right now, and this is from The Blaze, where Glenn Beck is speaking about this German couple, a family that has this child that came to America because they were homeschooling their children in Germany. And the way Germany thinks about children is the same way you're going to hear it's being said now in America, this new way of thinking, this fundamental transformation of way of thinking about it. And to think about it, if you don't want a spouse and you don't want children, hey, this new way of doing things is all for you because it's all about you. And by the way, who your daddy is, it's going to be government. Mm. It's not going to be God, because you cannot have God and government, God and money. If you choose money over your child's life, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Over having a child. And so this is all about selfishness, you know, self-centeredness, idolatry, dear God. And the enemy's taking advantage of this. We have to deal with these things in our life. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God is putting together today, establishing apostolic centers. He has established and is establishing for this next generation, this next season. We refer to them as apostolic centers or hubs, and we've talked about them before. But I want you to listen right now to Paul Keith Davis as he speaks about it prophetically as it's happening. Listen up.
We're living in the hour right now where the angels that gather message is relevant, where storehouses are being identified. Let's call them apostolic resource centers. Let's call them freedom outpost centers, as Chuck Pierce does, whatever you want to call it. The Antioch type of a model for ministry is relevant right now. Places are being identified. Leadership is being identified. The hearts of men are being examined by the eyes of the Lord, roving to and fro to see whose heart is completely His, so that He may strongly support them. And when He does find what He's looking for, He's going to give them authority. He's going to give them authority. Their words are going to have weight. They're going to begin to change the environment. They'll change the atmosphere. They'll prophesy something. We're living in an hour now where prophecy is not optional. It is mandatory. 1 Corinthians 14, you may prophesy, but I'm over in Revelation right now. Revelation 10, you must prophesy. You must prophesy again concerning many nations, tongues, tribes, and kingdoms. Why? Because the Lord has a harvest to bring in. He has a bride to awaken. He has sons of the kingdom to empower. We have some work to do. The Father's business needs to be done. And so I know that these places, Antioch was probably the purest model to what we're going to see today. Jerusalem, of course, was the first model, but it was primarily Jewish, as you know. But when Stephen was stoned, the Bible says the disciples were scattered. They went to Cyprus and settled primarily in Antioch. And all of a sudden now, the Spirit fell again in Antioch, and it became an apostolic hub where Barnabas went and found Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, brought him back there. They made that their base. They went on three missionary journeys out of Antioch. Antioch became the place where the people were first called Christ people, because they were so much like the Lord. They were identified with Him and His name. Isn't that amazing? And I believe these new models that are about to come today, these prophetic models of apostolic resource centers, of storehouses, of freedom outpost centers, will redefine the Christian definition. You'll be a Christ person. You'll be a person like Christ. John G. Lake had four experiences. On the fourth one, when the glory of the Lord came in and upon him, he said, I became a Christ man. Yeah, isn't that amazing? He said, now I didn't just have his power. I expressed his radiant nature. Wow, that blew me away when I read that way back in the 90s when I had my experience on Thrones of the Soul. And so I know the apostolic resource centers this year are being identified, places that will be given authority. We're going to win people in. We're going to go out into the wheat fields that surround the storehouse. We're going to prophesy people in. Our intercession will not just simply be intercession now. It'll be proclamation. It'll be decrees. It'll be taking authority, saying, bring them in. We're claiming them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them up. You know, addiction, give them up. Pornography, give them up. Whatever it is, you got to give them up. Why? Because he's given you authority to overcome, authority to destroy these shackles that have held this harvest in at bay. And they're going to come in. And when they do, we're going to train them. We're going to be given this incredible grace to train and facilitate their not only being set free of all the stuff, but also to lay a foundation of truth in them that will be so fast and so rapid it will scare you.
VFN Dream Center, think about this. An apostolic center on the Gulf Coast for the purpose of reaching the world. This is what was said, I believe, by Dr. Michael Brown. If you want to do something for God, find out what God is doing and dive in. Give yourself fully to it. Listen, this is what God is doing in the earth. He's establishing apostolic centers throughout the nation and throughout the world. It is time for us to arise and shine, for our light has come. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe it is. Go to VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And here's this German family who wanted to homeschool. Germany says, reportedly says, you cannot educate your children in your home. You have to put them in the Common Core. I mean, you hope not, is it? You have to put them in the public school system because we're the ones that raise your children up, because that's where they indoctrinate children. Understand this, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about this. The Communist Manifesto, when you talk about, you know, Russia and Germany and different aspects of communism, that's, you know, remnants of it and all the things that are taking place in socialism, that one thing that they do is infiltrate the school system and they begin to raise your child up. And they can change a nation. This is what Hitler did. Yeah. Hitler began a youth movement to begin to reformulate the thinking of the young folks. And now we do. We have a whole bunch of trained up children and people in their teens and people in their 20s, maybe even a little bit in their 30s, that have been trained up over the last 50 years in the school system that's trained them that this is normal. And for the rest of the thousands of years, it wasn't, but all of a sudden it is.
Right.
And this is what it's coming to. And so this family runs to, you got to hear, listen to Glenn Beck as he talks about it from The Blaze. And it is amazing what we've done to this couple. We turned them away. We turned this family and sent them back to Germany, which means their kids are going to be taken from them. What is our future, America? If the church doesn't repent, listen up.
When Melissa Harris Perry got into hot water, she was saying on television that your kids belong to the community and not to parents. That's an MSNBC promo. She and the left try to play this off as no big deal. She said, oh, I don't want to take your kids. But then she followed it up with what this fight is really all about. Listen to this.
This is about whether we as a society, expressing our collective will through our public institutions, including our government, have a right to impinge on individual freedoms in order to advance a common good. And that is exactly the fight that we have been having for a couple hundred years.
America, listen up carefully. What if society decides it's best for the collective, for your child, to go through the government school system and nothing else? Just what the government says, you know, for the common good. Your children are at school for 6 and even 8 hours a day. There are those in this administration that want them to be in school for 10 to 12 hours a day. And they're currently there from the age of 6 until 18. That's a pretty huge decision, choosing where and who your schools, who schools your children. And currently it's being made by you in your with your local school board. Kind of. If mom and dad can't make that decision, who is more the parent of the child in this case, the collective or the parent? They are with others, and those others are making decisions in their life that greatly impact their life. You get them at dinner. You have them at breakfast. You have them on weekends. You are a weekend dad. Tonight I'm going to introduce you to a couple and a family that left their native Germany for this very reason. The Romika family. They have been homeschooling their children in Germany because they wanted to teach their children about God. Now, this is not something that you're allowed to do in Germany in school. After 5 years of homeschooling, this family had the government show up on their door. One day, the German government knocked on their door. They removed their children from the home, placed them in a van, and escorted the kids to class. Well, the kids, as you can imagine, were in tears. A government van shows up and throws them in the back. Now, I would imagine that my kids would be in tears, being ripped from their home, thrown in the back of the van, a frightening experience. But the next day, the police showed up again. But this time something happened. Friends surrounded the lawn and the police decided to leave. The family was eventually fined $10,000 for homeschooling their children. $10,000 fine because they don't have a right to homeschool. Obviously, if they were to continue homeschooling there, they would have gone bankrupt paying fines or go to jail. They were told that they would go to jail and lose the kids. Here is their story. Tonight I want to introduce you to a family that eats together, laughs together, and cries together. I want to tell you the story of the Romika family. In 2008, the parents moved their kids from Germany to seek asylum in America because they were being persecuted for homeschooling, which is an old Nazi law in Germany. Homeschooling is still illegal. It took 2 years, but in 2010, they were granted asylum by the U.S. government. We feel here that you should be able to teach your kids whatever you want. In Germany, the old Nazi laws say no. In a small town outside of Knoxville, Tennessee, they found a place to call home, and what a home it is.
The landscape is very nice, and the people are very nice and friendly, and I would say they are also nicer and friendlier to kids here.
There, the family with 6 kids were able to finally enjoy the freedom they had dreamed of. The freedom to live, learn, teach in their own home, and follow their Christian beliefs.
We enjoy the freedom of homeschooling here, so freedom of education. That's something we didn't have.
But their struggle is far from over. The life they have created in the town with the rolling hills in Tennessee is now being threatened. Because this administration wants you to know it is not a basic human right to be able to teach your children what you deem appropriate. Now, the U.S. Agency for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, has filed an appeal on their asylum. This has already gone through a U.S. court. They have asylum. And ICE is, what is it the president says we have bigger things to do? ICE is now arguing that homeschoolers are not a fit category for granting asylum. In other words, there is no basic human right to educate your own children as you see fit. I want you to know that this is the most crucial and critical piece of the entire hour that you need to understand. The family is fighting for their right to stay here in America. They're fighting deportation. Romika versus Holder is now before the United States Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit and will be held in 5 days. This amazing family came to America to educate their children. They thought they were coming to the land of the free, but unfortunately, they may not recognize it as much as some of us will. They are being targeted for educating their own children in the land of the free, and they may not recognize how far we have drifted. This time, by the same administration that would not go after the Black Panthers, they have been dancing around the Saudi national that just blew off limbs of Americans in our streets, and people are currently petitioning the White House to grant a permanent legal status to this family. But they have no intention of it. Why? Jay Carney was asked about this just last week.
There's a petition at whitehouse.gov, an online mm-hmm. petition, and it's gotten over 100,000 signatures saying they want the president to intervene so that this family doesn't have to go back to Germany. They think the public schools, they've been homeschooling their kids here in America, mm-hmm. and they don't like the German public schools. It's reached over 100,000 signatures. What's the process for reacting to something like that, and are you aware of the specific case?
I'm not aware of it. I will certainly take the question. We do have a threshold beyond which we respond to We the People petitions, and if that threshold is crossed, I'm sure we will respond, but I don't have a specific comment on this case.
The petition now has over 117,000 signatures, more than the required 100,000 to be able to get that response from the White House. But Carney isn't aware of it. Mm-hmm. So why would the administration go out of their way to fight this? What difference does this make? Remember, they were releasing illegal immigrant criminals from prison because of sequester before sequester even hit. So why would this administration, why are they fighting tooth and nail to send this family who is here legally back to Germany? Why? We go back to MSNBC. As the progressive host said, they believe your children is not yours. They belong to the collective. Progressives are always teaching our kids that the state knows better than mom and dad. Well, what better way to hammer that point home than to stick it to this homeschooling family from Germany and set a precedence? Leftist hack sites like Salon are now arguing that I'm only defending this family because they're white. What are you for? I am defending them because I do believe that we have a God-given right to teach our children the way we feel God is telling us to teach our children. It's why our pilgrims came here. So, where do we go here? With these modern-day American pilgrims who came here to teach their children and raise their children and worship with their children as they see fit. The administration is fighting them because progressives want total control over your children from cradle to grave. This is a secondary and critical part of Common Core. While we focus on Common Core, while they cultivate information on our kids, they are also blocking the exits by throwing a little-known German family through deportation and throwing them under the bus. But it's not about them. It's about you in the end. Tonight, I'm going to introduce you to this family, and I believe by the end of the hour, you will deeply care about these people, and you may even find the need to stand up for your own rights, for your own children, as you stand up for this family. It is imperative that this family is not sent home. If they lose, you lose. The right as a parent, you know, that private notion of children will be destroyed. Mercury One has been spearheading a defense fund for the family. So far, we have raised $92,204.84. MercuryOne.org.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Pat, you know, I think back, before I even knew God, God was just beginning to draw himself to me. And I was hungry for God before I even knew I was even hungry for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to tradition, going through that hour a week that I had been raised upon, but I knew I wanted more.
Right.
You know, and when God called me and I met his son, Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
God really changed my life. Yeah. He touched my heart and he encountered my whole life. And he drew me into the VFN family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so powerful. It was so amazing to see other Christians who I had never seen before, people who just cast their every burden and every care on Jesus. And the coolest thing was, is that people that I could relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the longest time, you want to share your problems with people, but there was nobody there that was close enough to you that you could really talk to and be transparent with.
Right.
You know, I want to encourage you that if you're listening right now and you want to just connect with people who are just real, who they themselves have problems, you know, we look to Jesus in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel that God's just really beginning to speak to your heart and just draw you to himself, I want to encourage you to go to vfnfamily.org.
So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And like slap your mama hot sauce. Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, it's not something you actually do.
Well, actually,
what?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. I was like, where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, well, I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about
yeah.
Slap your
we'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slapped your mother?
Well, no, food. Something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a southern way of doing things.
That's a southern saying. That's what saying.
You
do. Oh, saying.
Shoo. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah. My mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, I said it to obviously. Steve one day. We were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Christmas
ribs.
He's
from Detroit. Lions.
He's from Detroit. And they don't have, apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does slap your mama taste like?
It's just real hot, spicy. You know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste, and
not quite that hot.
So it's hot. Hot.
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably couldn't. You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Oh, wasabi.
Oh.
Wasabi.
Whoa. I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom says anything. He seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The oh.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth. I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, Second Street, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, the yeah. We won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah. I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well,
it's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, Slap Your Mama. I should have read that. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's this very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is amazing when you're seeing what happened to this German family. And the question is, you know, what happened? What happened in the context of this family? Mm. And it did go to the Supreme Court. It did go to the Supreme Court, and they ruled on it. And their ruling was that they denied this family asylum. They denied this family asylum to be able to come and stay in America.
The interesting yeah. thing is that they actually granted them asylum, and then now they're taking it away. And yes. It's like, what's the deal with that? Yeah, obviously, there's a strategy here.
On the May the 13th this year, they denied the family asylum. Their reports are, and that means sending them back and the government taking their kids from them. When we get back from the break, listen, what is happening? What condition have we allowed in our lives as the church to cause a society to be going through what they're going through? Because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble ourselves and pray in turn from how we're seeing family and marriage and children and parents and spiritual children in the Lord, people being born again in the kingdom and being raised as his disciples, then the world will reflect that. I'm going to be able to tell you there's hope. There's hope. But the first thing I want to say to you real quick, like, the Lord spoke to me last night and showed me that, again, that these consequences are piling up on us and difficult times that you've never even imagined that's going to test men's souls is coming to America if we do not repent. All this we're talking about is just the fruit from us not standing for God and doing what's right. I want to begin to tell you about the first great awakening, and that's what it's going to take, a great awakening to take place in America. Listen up.
From the Mayflower Compact to the Declaration of Independence, Christianity was at the heart of America's founding. That key point is often overlooked these days, but the evidence is everywhere. Paul Strand reports on a massive revival in the 1700s that left a radical mark on the birth of our nation.
America's revolutionary fathers weren't just nominal Christians. They were profoundly influenced by the New World's first revival, the Great Awakening. Reverend Eddie Hyatt tells how it hit from the 1720s to 60s in his book, America's Revival Heritage. Colonial pastor Jonathan Edwards, known to pray and study his Bible 13 hours a day, watched radical revival take over his hometown in Massachusetts.
The way he describes it is just like one day God invaded the town of Northampton. The town seemed to be full of the presence of God.
The bars emptied out and Christians' homes filled with people anxious to be saved and know God.
He said, if you came across someone who seemed spiritually indifferent, it would be spoken of as a strange thing.
Then the powerful English preacher George Whitefield brought his fiery sermons to America. Scorned by the established church, he preached salvation to huge multitudes outdoors. Crowds from 10,000 to as many as 30,000 showed up.
Entire towns repenting and turning to God.
Whitefield stayed at Benjamin Franklin's home while preaching in Philadelphia, and Franklin wrote of the revival's impact.
From being thoughtless or indifferent about religion, it seemed as if all the world were growing religious so that one could not walk through the town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families of every street.
Whitfield lifted up a special prayer for the colonies that would make a huge difference in their revolution and future together.
They would not live as 13 scattered colonies, but as one nation under God.
And indeed, the Great Awakening became the first national event the scattered colonies experienced as one. It unified them unlike any time before, just in time to face the mighty British Empire in war. The revival also shaped the Founding Fathers' core vision for America, that God sets men free. It's their natural right to have liberty, and each is made to rule with Christ. Its influence is all over their Declaration of Independence, U.S. Constitution, and Bill of Rights. As he studied the founders, Hyatt found example after example of how deeply this awakening influenced them and their Christian values. Take Thomas Jefferson, for instance.
He signed all presidential documents in the year of our Lord Christ.
He sent Christian missionaries to one Indian tribe and gave them federal funds to build a church. He also attended Sunday services held in the House of Representatives. Some scholars even doubt the first president's faith, but a Quaker named Isaac Potts, living near Valley Forge, saw George Washington's faith up close during that cruel winter that almost froze his colonial army to death during the Revolution.
He said, "I tied my horse to a sapling and went quietly into the woods, and to my astonishment, I saw the great George Washington on his knees alone. He was at prayer to the God of the armies of heaven, beseeching him."
The anti-war Quaker Potts later wrote,
and he says, "Such a prayer I never heard from the lips of man. We never thought a man could be a soldier and a Christian. But if there is one in the world, it is Washington."
At the Constitutional Convention in 1787, the delegates fought and bickered so bitterly, the convention almost broke up. But then Ben Franklin stood and began to preach.
He says, "The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?"
Then Franklin beseeched them to pray together at the start of every day. After that, an atmosphere of peace and reconciliation came upon the founders.
And they were able to proceed and to finish their job of hammering out the American Constitution and Bill of Rights, and in a context of prayer.
60 years after it began, the Great Awakening still influenced the Founding Fathers and continues to benefit our country today. Paul Strand, CBN News.
Dear God, we've sinned against you. We left your ways. Forgive us of our sins. Restore our families as we first let you use us to restore your family. End abortion. Send revival. Send a third great awakening. Lord, we ask you again, raise up the Whitfields. Raise them up, and we will follow you. In Jesus' name.
The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. Looking for a holistic, organic, and herbal approach for healing? Look no further than Old Time Remedies in Pensacola. With over 200 bulk herbs on the shelf, large variety, and high quality, call, visit online, or drop in today and sign up for one of our popular workshops. Finders Keepers, a unique boutique with thrift shop prices where you can find anything from furniture, clothes, jewelry, and so much more. Visit Mary today in Pensacola on Gulf Beach Highway and get you a great find today. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola, not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.